We just filmed paywall content for it with Anton Daniels. So today we have a special guest on the show. We have Anton Daniels. He has been a longtime friend of the show, and he has a YouTube channel with over 587,000 subscribers and the Millionaire Morning Show, which has 350,000 subscribers. Anton is very big in property. He also covers finance, economics, politics, and he's also a cultural commentator. Welcome to the show, Anton. Are you there?
I am here. What's going on?
How are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing incredible. I'm doing really well. Glad to see my homegirl Pearl again.
Yeah, it's good to reunite. I mean, you've been here since, I think I knew you when I was like at 100,000 subscribers, like pretty small, to be honest.
Yep. Probably a little bit less than that. It was right before the 100,000 mark.
Yeah. We also have Doug MPA on the line. Welcome, Doug.
Glad to be here, Pearl.
And what up,
I'm
Doug?
A big fan of Anton Daniels, man. Your voice resonates because I'm a black male successful. Your voice resonates to all of us, brother. So keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate you, bro.
So today we wanted to talk about women and the economy. As you know, I'm very pro-female on this account. Some would call me a female advocate. Others would say women's empower, really important to me. So, you know, women and the economy, I want to see what your thoughts are on women and the economy in 2025.
I think that they're suffering. I think that a lot of what their decisions were, they're coming back to haunt them. If you look back at even with the Department of Government Efficiency, right, and them coming in and doing, you know, audits to find out exactly what people are doing. And then you start to look at all of the different layoffs, not just from the federal government, but in general, when you talk about different positions that are being affected in our economy and the private sector, which is actually adding jobs. And who's the most affected? It's women. Women were the most affected during the pandemic. Women are the most affected when it comes to this economy. If you want to look at evictions, if you want to look at repossessions, women are the ones that are most affected, which is very ironic because if you pay attention to the different waves of feminism and in the mindset of a lot of women prior to Trump coming into office, and even during the Biden administration, when you've seen a lot of the complaints about what was happening in the economy, it was largely women that were complaining about the state of things and how they were being impacted from affordability to student loans, everything. And I think that they are largely paying the price of what independence looked like. They wanted independence when it came to opportunity, but not necessarily when it came to, you know, how you would be impacted in a negative way and how you're supposed to get yourself out of that. I don't think that they were prepared for that.
So how is that possible when all the headlines are telling us that women are graduating college more, that they're out earning men in major cities, that women are more homeowners? How is it possible that women are doing so financially poor when all of the headlines are saying that women are doing well?
Well, they are by the metrics that you evaluate when you start to talk about like participation trophies. But when it came to results, when it comes to results, it paints a different picture, right? I mean, we could say that the women are the most educated, but what does that really mean if it doesn't translate into the real world? I know women, I've seen women. A lot of women today are saying that they are going to re-enroll in school so that they can basically reset or put off the possibility of having or being forced to pay back their student loans. So what does it really mean, right? I know women that go into bad fields or degrees, or they focus so much on liberal arts and it doesn't necessarily translate into them making more money. I've seen women take out $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 in order to be a social worker, right, to study African-American studies. So we can say, okay, well, women are the most educated, when in reality, they're the most enrolled, the most in debt. They picked degree programs that they thought that they would be able to basically hide under the radar as far as working these government jobs and not necessarily being required to pay it back because, you know, if you do it the right way, after 10 years, you can get it forgiven in the public sector, right? So when you look at this data, when you hear people say these talking points, when you see women say stuff like, well, we're the most educated and all of that stuff. But then you start to look at the earnings, right? And you look at how much men make, how much women make. They still don't out earn us. They don't make more money than us in mass. You may have a couple women here and there that's doing really well. Most of the time they've adjusted their lifestyle to reflect whatever it is that they make. And the minute that they have a disaster or they have a layoff, they're in shambles. They lose everything, right? So I don't believe it. I don't believe that women are doing as well as they think that they are. I see a lot of women saying that they're house poor, that they can't wait to sell. I've seen a lot of women say that they're doing short sales. So I'm not impressed. I'm not impacted. And I think that the women that are truly doing well are the ones that come under the covering of men.
Mm-hmm. And so what would your advice be for young women that are graduating college and they're looking to enter the workforce? Are there some careers that you'd recommend over others?
I think that women that go into information technology, but not forced to do so, are doing okay. And the reason that I say that is that I don't think that they're becoming cloud engineers. I don't think that they're going into AI machine learning. I don't think that they're going into cybersecurity. I think that they are getting into the safe spaces like project management, stuff like that. Product owners.
What? Anton, it's called tech adjacent jobs. So
a lot of it is. So a lot of these tech girlies, technical. Yeah, they're not necessarily technical, but they are in the tech space, right? I think those women do okay. I think that women have a knack for always going into nursing. It's a low barrier to entry field that doesn't require a whole lot of schooling, but then ultimately it's a form of job security, although I don't think that nurses are necessarily the best women to date because they tend to be having a lot of relationships on the job.
No, not nurses. Doing okay.
Nurses are rough. If you are a man that got a woman that's a nurse, I'm not saying that it's 100%, but it's probably like a 69, 70% chance that you got cheated on.
Hey, to be fair, in the divorce, you could put her on alimony, maybe. They make a lot of money, don't they?
They do. No, they do okay. Travel nurses tend to make more money than nurses that are stationary in a specific a specific market. Mm-hmm. So travel nurses get a per diem. They get their housing paid for. They usually command a higher rate. They made a killing during the pandemic. Travel nurses do really well. Men that are travel nurses do really well also. But they tend to be a lot more promiscuous in other fields.
Yeah. So in terms of you, what do project managers even do?
So project managers is kind of the bridge between all participants and parties and whatever project that you're managing, right? I don't want to get too technical as far as like waterfall versus agile or anything like that. But essentially, project managers manage the project. They make sure that everything stays green lighted, that things are on task, on time. They kind of manage stand-ups along with scrum masters and things like that. So they are the ones that are basically the go-to for all communication. Developers usually tend to communicate through project managers to the product owners. Product owners are usually working hand in hand with project managers to make sure that they stay on the right timeline. So they kind of oversee all different aspects of it. So they touch everything. So they know a little bit about everything, but they're not necessarily an expert at anything, right?
Hmm. Whenever I hear about jobs that a lot of women go into, it just always seems like it's just nagging men to do things. And that just sounds like girl, getting paid to nag a little really bit. Want me to,
like, honestly, I think that we're going to start seeing a lot of women become stay-at-home mothers. Honestly. I think that people are trying to figure out how to lower their lifestyle because the growing sentiment is, well, nowadays with this economy, you need two incomes in order to survive. I don't believe that. I think that people need to adjust their lifestyle to more or less reflect the income. I think that you're going to start seeing women make a little bit of extra money on the side. If she can find a stay-at-home job, then she'll do that. But I think that you're going to see more women retreat into their quote unquote femininity, and they're going to start being stay at home mothers more than ever, because it's much more difficult than they thought to compete against men for the jobs that they think that they want. You're not going to see women taking up all of these jobs that is being created through the economy, the manufacturing jobs, the steel jobs, the auto jobs, the plants, the semiconductor chips, all of that type of stuff, the construction jobs. You're not going to see that. The linemen, the people that are, you know, on the line, oil men, all of those type of oil jobs and stuff. You're not going to see that. You're going to see more women, I think, retreat into their femininity, and they're going to start to be stay-at-home mothers a little bit more.
Yeah, you'd have to convince women to stop aborting an eighth of the world population.
There's nothing.
Women love abortion.
I know.
There's nothing more important to modern women than their own selfish desires. Nothing. I'm sorry.
That's the nature of most women, though. Uh-huh. It's normal. Like I'll give you an example. And I like to kind of illustrate this a little bit differently, but I'm going to just keep it simple here. Most guys know what they qualify for, right? We know that even if you wind up having a fling with a certain woman, wherever it is that you are, all things combined, socioeconomic status, visibility, all of the things that make a man as far as how we evaluate and judge man from a societal perspective, we know where we stand in comparison to other people within that. And that also includes the women that we go after or the women that make themselves available to us, right? It's way different for women. Because if you talk to most women, what they first say is, well, I deserve a good man, right? And then the next thing that they'll start to communicate is that they want the best man possible, which is the very definition of hypergamy, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you take that into consideration, women don't believe that they have a spectrum of men or they have to stay within a certain container of men based off of what they qualify for. They think that they're qualifying for everything and they're going to take the best possible, even if they knew that they'd ruin his life. Even if you knew that you was a single mother and you would slow this man down, you would take him because you feel like it's okay as long as he chose you. So men and women think differently when it comes to how we even choose the person that we're supposed to be with, which speaks specifically to your whole thing of women being selfish. Women will selfishly take the man that they know that they don't necessarily qualify for if they can get him, if they can finesse him, if they can convince him that he's best for them. Even if he's not, they'll take him. Men, we tend to be a little bit differently. We stay wherever it is that we qualify for. And as a matter of fact, we're so unselfish that we'll date a woman that work at McDonald's. We'll take a woman that ain't even worth 10 cents and build her up or let her come along with us just because of a couple different qualifications that she meet. It's crazy. We date down, they date up.
Yeah, but women, even if they're single mothers, someone will bail her out after. I've seen too much now, Anton. I don't really believe, like, there's just always a simp to bail her out of it, always.
Well, of course.
And also,
because we're weak. We're weak.
I think the biggest thing now
when it comes to women
is that, once again, modern women, they want to take an ambitious, successful, accomplished guy, marry him, and then get him to set everything, all of his skills, decision-making, motivation that got him to be successful, put that aside to help her achieve her own selfish goals. I think there's too many men in relationships and marriage where the guy is planning for the wife and the children, and the wife is planning for herself.
Well, so that's why we got to stop. We have to stop focusing on women. Listen, women are the beneficiaries of our greatness. Whatever it is that we do great, most of the time, she's going to be the one that spends the money. That's just the honest to God truth. Doesn't matter how masculine you are. Doesn't matter how great you are. If we look at our parents, if we look at the success, the women are often the ones that spend the money. We write the check for the big purchases, but the women are the ones that come in and decorate the house, right? They're the ones that a lot of times that pay attention to what goes on with the furniture. They're the ones that spend all of the money on the kids. They are the ones that spend. So they become the beneficiaries of our greatness. The greatest women understand that all they got to do is be great to men, right? All they got to do is be a helpmeet. But again, we have somewhat of an indoctrination camp coming between social media and our universities and our institutions that are trying to teach women to be independent against their, you know, to their own demise. And it is unfortunate because all I see is women suffering right now. I see women suffering tremendously. They suffering, they complaining about the fact that Trump is making modifications to food stamps and to welfare requirements.
Medicaid.
They're 100% Medicaid. They're complaining. It doesn't matter how much you try to change society through diversity, equity, and inclusion, gender wars, all of this stuff. None of that matters because ultimately it's going to come back down to the nature of who we are as men and women. And you will never be able to outwork me. You'll never be stronger than me. You'll never have the type of endurance that I have. And it's beneficial for you to get up under my covering because, again, you then become the beneficiary of my greatness. I think that this is the first real large and going to be your makeshift companion based off of the fact that you should have been with a man instead of raising me to be your companion. You're starting to see a lot of men walk away from that.
So what effect?
I have a saying, I say, when men win, everyone wins. And when women win, they win for themselves.
What were you about to say, Pearl?
So what effect do you think that the Trump administration's policies are on student loans are going to have on women in 2025 and in the next 3 years?
I believe that, well, I think that you're going to see more women enroll in school. As crazy as that sounds. Because
no.
I think that you're going to see women that were in school re-enroll in school. And I think that you're going to see women that have not been in school be a little bit more careful about enrolling in school. But the women that have already kind of got degrees, they going to start to get more meaningless degrees. I seen a woman going for a doctorate in business. I don't even know what you use that for. They're starting to re-enroll. And I've seen women say that they intentionally are going to re-enroll because it's the only way that they can get around having a credit messed up while they can't pay their student loans, because it then gives them grace to be able to say, okay, well, I'm gonna put my loans in forbearance, or I'm gonna forego having to pay my student loans without it affecting my credit or getting my wages garnished because they still gonna be working. So they'll just take a minimal amount of credits. Otherwise they would have their wages garnished because now it affects your credit and your wages. So you're gonna see people get desperate. And I think that one of the things that they're looking to do is re-enroll in school. It's the only other option that they have. Otherwise, that they'll just have their wages garnished and they're going
to
be working for nothing.
They'll just re-enroll for life?
100%. Like, they are lifetime students.
Damn. Is there going to be a way?
And it's not by choice. It's by way of feeling like they need to survive. That's the only way that they can survive.
Do you think there'll be an increase in sex work then? Because, like,
it already is.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's true. It's probably going to get worse, though, because at some point, like, they're going to have to pay it. And that's...
I'll do you one better. Mm-hmm. I believe that you're going to see a lot of women become makeshift second wives.
Okay.
I think that there's going to be a lot of women that say, you know what? I don't mind being a second wife for a great man. Mm. Women are going to start, mark my words, you're going to see en masse a trend of women sharing, openly sharing, not hidden, not side chicks, not none of that stuff. They're going to openly share great men and they're going to be happy to do it. You're going to see a reset of women starting to get with men that are great and they're going to be willing to play their role and their responsibilities in that relationship because it is going to be it's going to get harder. And they need a savior. They need somebody to save them from themselves.
Women will just be like, cheating, that's nothing. Mike, I got a second wife.
Women say it all the time right now. Yeah, they say, listen, yeah. I don't really care. I'm not really checking for whether or not he got something going on.
Yeah.
And I understand it because it's like, look, do I want to be out here suffering, trying to figure it out? Or do I want to be comfortable in a space where I know exactly who my person is? But at the same time, as long as I trust him not to do anything egregious, mm-hmm. I think that that'll start to become more of a thing.
So with all of this debt, why do you think women own more homes than men?
Because I believe that there's a misunderstanding of a purpose of a home, especially a home that you live in. Mm-hmm. A home that you live in is not it's not an investment. It's just that. It's a home that you live in. And they don't truly calculate the costs that come along with home ownership. They don't look at the property taxes. I've seen people, man, I see a lot of stuff. I'm out here in these streets. I've seen women, for example, get mad at the idea that when they purchased the home, a new build, they didn't even realize that the property taxes was going to make it unaffordable for them, right? And so the biggest, as a person that has worked for banks, I've worked for multiple banks, I understand how the game goes. The greatest finesse that the banking industry sold people was that they need to get 30-year mortgages. If you don't think that life is going to change for you sometime in that 30 years to where you start to question or try to figure out whether it makes sense to continue to make 360 payments, or that you're not going to have a layoff, or that you're not going to at some point have some problem or some major setback at that home. You're going to have a leak in a roof. You're going to have the water heater grow out, or you're going to have the furnace go out, or whatever, so on and so forth. Women didn't truly calculate the cost of living when it came to the maintenance, the repairs, the property taxes, the mortgages, and they are struggling to make those payments. I think, and here's the thing about the economy right now, in most markets, homes are sitting longer. So when we heard Kamala Harris lie to us and say that we had a home problem, and that's the reason why things wasn't affordable. No, we have an affordability problem. When she said that we were going to build 3 million new homes, there are already over 2 million homes on the market right now that's unsold, right? And so I think that women, a lot of times, they don't truly calculate the cost. It's easy to market to them, and so they jumped at it, and now they catching hell. They looking to sell. They stuck with it. They stuck with places that got high HOA fees. And it's kicking their ass.
And
it's
really they can also post the house on Instagram. And so then they get all the clout from the house and they get to tell everyone they're a homeowner.
Well, yeah, it's a dopamine hit.
Yeah. And then they're in debt over the house. I know someone with six figures in college debt that decided to buy a house right out of college.
It's silly. They need to go home with their parents. They need to go home.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. Like, she's going to be paying off her debt till she's 50, probably. Like, I asked her.
I agree.
And that's what she told me. So what impact...
Think about buying a house at 40 years old, right? For the first time. And then having to pay for that house till you're 70. And that's assuming that you don't take out any new mortgages, that you don't take out a home equity line of credit. It's going to be a difficult sell.
Yeah. What impact do you think that AI is going to have on women in the workforce?
Oh, they're the ones that's going to be replaced first. Because think about it. Like, for example, I just did a story on Klarna. And Klarna has already replaced a huge percentage of their workforce with AI chatbots, right? AI automated tools, especially when it comes to call centers, they've already started to replace a lot of those jobs. The jobs that a lot of people were doing working from home, even when you talk about the federal government, a lot of it is going to be natural attrition, meaning that people that fall out of the workforce, but they just don't replace them. And then they use AI to either replace them or to assist other people to be more efficient. That is now what you see happening as far as the technologies that's being implemented across the board. The whole industries, certain industries are going to be wiped out overnight. And women don't tend to go into jobs that force them to physically do stuff. They're not electricians. They're not plumbers. They're not millwrights, right? They don't go into being HVAC technicians. They're not police officers. And if they are, they get their ass kicked a lot of times. You know, they're not the physical. They're not linemen. They're not repairing lines. They're not heading out to the hard hit areas of hurricanes in order to put up electrical lines back again. So they're not doing those jobs. They say that they want them, but they don't do those jobs. So when you start to think about technology taking more of these jobs or having an impact of what happens inside of society, they are going to be the ones that are the most affected.
Yeah. Someone says, Anton ain't lying. I'm married with a second side chick. I'm a high value male making approximately 300,000. I'm sorry, but I work too damn hard and provide for both and get well taken care of, and get well taken care of myself. It is what it is. So when the AI takes these women's jobs, you think that like a lot of the women are going to go opt to be second wives to men or second girlfriends, that sort of thing publicly?
They already are.
Yeah.
Now they're just starting to be a lot more. There are women that prefer to be the side chick than to actually be the married woman.
And yeah, so it's less now of a responsibility, that right?
I don't think that women, here's the caveat. Mm-hmm. It's not that women don't already accept the roles that they're playing in men's lives. Mm-hmm. I think it's more or less about men not necessarily caring to hide the fact that I want a second woman, or I can afford a second woman, or mm-hmm. I am man enough to be able to handle a second woman in our lives. And so men are becoming more bold. Men are becoming a lot more matter of fact in their stance about how they live their lives and what relationships look like, especially when they are super successful, and especially if they're heterosexual men. I don't think that these guys are so worried about what other people think, or that they necessarily care about whether or not people are going to say that they are or they aren't a good person. I think it's going to become more acceptable because men are very matter of fact about how they live their lives. So it's not that women aren't already doing it. It's not that the girl that's a side chick don't already understand that he has a man. I'll go one step further for you. I believe that men that are in relationships or men that are married are much more desirable to the mass of women than men that that tend to be single. If you are a married guy, if you are a married guy that is super successful, forget about it. You're going to have all kind of women that shooting a shot all day long. 100%.
I've noticed women in their 20s tend to like fight this and say they won't accept it. But it seems like the women I know that are opting for side chick or like accept that sort of thing, they seem to be in their 30s. Is that what you've seen or no?
I think that they're of all ages.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed like...
Through 60.
See, I've noticed that the younger ones, if they're like a side chick, they tend to just be like it's more transactional, like sugar baby.
Correct.
Yeah, like that sort of thing where they're not really vying to be there long term. It's just like, take my money for now. But mm-hmm. I've noticed that women in their 30s that tend to do it, they're kind of more in it for the long term. I don't know. You could see other things, but
the dream has died in the 30s. The dream is dead. So now they have to take what they can get.
And I'm telling you, listen, women just want stability at this point. They want stability. They want freedom. And they want to be comfortable just being whatever it is that they feel like they're meant to do. They want to be able to comfortably discover themselves without suffering. I think that there's a lot of women that just went through a lot of suffering. They like, hold on, I'm ready to tap out. This is good. This is a little too rough for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling you, women, I think that they still are picky a little bit, mm-hmm. but the thing that they pick, they're willing to compromise if he's already kind of taken.
It's actually crazy. Just in my 3-4 years of doing this job, how much more polygamy has come out in the open than mm-hmm. I remember when I was first exposed to this content 4 or 5 years ago, one of the first streams I saw of Kevin Samuels was high value men cheat. And at the time I thought that was so absurd. I was like, no, that's not true. Da, 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 da. It's exactly true.
They don't cheat. They just exercise their options.
Yeah, correct. Well, yeah, correct. Correct. But
but I don't, I don't think that most of those guys, most high value guys, they're productive. So I don't think that they have a whole lot of time to be focused on women. Mm-hmm. They're not guys that, contrary to popular belief, these are not guys that are out hunting for women. They're not chasing. They're not trying to figure it out. They're not trying to spit game. That's not what it is. These are just guys that naturally move about life, being productive, that is very noticeable based off of the fact that they are high value and very productive people. So women that are in those spheres notice them and they shoot their shot. Women are shooting their shot. If you are a really great guy, if you speak well, if you are productive, if you are on a trajectory of even more success based off of what you're producing now and where your life is going, you don't have to shoot your shot no more. Those days is over.
Yeah, you're even seeing women making content of And not to say that content's real life, but to some extent, right? But you'll see them like making content, shooting their shot and stuff. What is this username? Pooping While Standing says women don't wake up until they're 30 plus. Epiphany. Have you noticed, though, the one challenge you get is when high performing men don't have a lot of social skills, they tend to become targets. Have you seen that?
High value men don't have. I think that high value men tend to have more social skills than guys that don't. I don't even think that it.
No,
matters.
I said high earning. Well, I mean.
Oh, high earning men.
I mean, you see that a lot with engineers.
High earning men tend to be more productive, though. They don't tend to be spending a lot of time doing the things that they don't shoot DMs. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not on apps swiping left and right. These are guys that are out and about and they taking care of business. Most of the time they work 7 days a week. They're really out building, they doing stuff, they meeting people, and they don't tend to sleep a whole lot, right? So these are guys that are truly, truly focused on their purpose and all of the things of what success it looks like come with them. And a lot of times that also, the biggest problem with high value men is that they have too many options and they have to actually determine who is worthy of being in a presence and who is not. And that's not even from a relationship perspective. That just comes from people that are around you. That comes from your network. They have a difficult time sometimes saying no because they feel an obligation based off of the fact that they have become so successful.
Mm-hmm. How do women afford their lifestyles when they make less money, they have kids out of wedlock, and they have jobs that are volatile and they're the first to get laid off?
How do they afford their lifestyle? They don't. They suffer. Everything that you think is happening based off of what is being presented to you on social media is a lie. Social media is 85% lie, 10% truth, 5% variable. That's it. And when you see these women, listen, the same women that are sitting there and when they get their hair done on a Thursday or a Friday and they got their lace front done and all of this stuff and they got their hair and their nails done or whatever, they got $43 in a bank account. And the minute that they heard that Trump was making adjustments to food stamps, they did another TikTok. And they right after that, they was talking about how it is that they mad about Trump is changing the food stamp benefits, right? So this is all perspective. It's all finesse. It's all a mirage, right? The women that I tend to see complaining the most, whether it be in the chat or whether it be on social media, those are the ones that are suffering the most. They not happy with themselves. And so when you say, how can they afford their lifestyle? They day by day, check by check, opportunity by opportunity. There are women that are literally, I don't know if you've ever been on this part of TikTok, for example, Pearl, but have you been on 304 Talk?
Yeah. Yeah, we did
there
a reaction
women that
to
are
them.
Selling themselves.
TikTok so many.
Has now devolved and becoming a new back page.
Oh my gosh, that's so, same with Instagram. Yeah.
It's a dating app. That's not an app to like show your kids or, hey, listen, stand in touch with family.
Hey,
TikTok
these mothers have to thirst trap with their kids, Anton.
They are selling themselves. They are promoting themselves. They are not secret. It's not secretive. They suffering. They living in their cars. There's more women becoming homeless every single day. They not messing around. They are doing what they got to do to survive. And ultimately it comes back to a lot of times, ironically enough, they go back to the core of when it's all said and done. I know that I got something in between my legs I can sell in order to continue to you know, survive.
Mm.
The universal credit card, they call it.
Yeah, 100%.
And Doug MPA, if you have any questions for him, feel free to chime in. How does Anton, someone pooping while standing, very nice username. How does Anton Daniels deal with handling women on his channel? Yeah, do they ever go AWOL them. And stuff?
Do they ever what?
Go AWOL, like beef you? The women that you bring on the
channel. No, I would say that most women, believe it or not, I have a whole lot of women. I got an army of women that rock with me. I got a lot of women that's in my Patreon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it just takes one crazy
55,
one.
45. I don't think that the women, I don't think that women hate me. The very, even women that come on my panels, let's say, for example, mm-hmm. you get a woman that's unruly on my panel. We kick it in the DMs. I don't have real unruly women. That's around me. I have all super submissive. I have women that work for me. I don't have problematic women in real life around me. And women that's on the panels, I tend to not really run into a whole lot of them that are problematic nowadays. I also think that because I have been on YouTube for a long time, that they already know what they're getting themselves into when they come up there. So I don't think that they're looking to cause too much of a problem. Of course, you're going to have people that have a strong opinion about certain things or whatever. And I tell them from the beginning, I said, listen, it's not against you. So whatever happens, just understand that this is just what it is that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the subject. It's about content. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. So if I just so happen to meet you with the same energy you meet me with, don't cry about it. But I don't see a lot of unruly women nowadays coming at me or coming in my chat or stuff like that. I let them rock out. I think that they're useful. They could be useful too.
Okay. So what, even outside of YouTube, what has your experience been with women in the workplace? I think that women can't stand each other. And female mm-hmm. bosses are worse than male bosses. But what has your experience been?
I've had good experiences. Honestly, I know it seemed to be different. It probably should be different based off of a lot of the rhetoric. But I've had great experiences with women in the workplace. I've had two female bosses that have been incredible, incredible to me. One of them was when I was working at the University of Michigan. She actually ensured that I got all of my benefits, all of my packages, and that I got a promotion before she died. It was an older white woman, and she wound up dying of cancer. We didn't know of her cancer diagnosis until a lot later when she was in cancer. And then the second woman that I worked with directly, all the rest of them were male, you know, male bosses and stuff like that. The second woman that I worked with directly was at the job that I recently retired from. And she was an Indian woman, but she was a married woman. She was an Indian woman. Her husband, I had went out with her and her husband before, and we had a really great relationship. And so my experience with women in the workplace has been great. Now, I have seen women working with other women or working with women bosses that is very difficult. Very rarely do I see men women being able to have a female superior that they are okay with. At some point, it always goes bad. I think that women can work parallel with other women. So if you see a woman that may not necessarily be above you, but maybe in some of the same positions with you, the higher you go up in corporate America, the easier it is for them to get along. But usually when you see women as a superior over other women, it becomes a very toxic, very volatile situation. The men, they tend to not care because I think that men more focus on their careers and whether or not they're getting a paycheck at the end of the week. I think that women, especially in corporate America, they tend to wear their job on a sleeve. That's a part of their identity. And so even when you see men that are in relationships with women that work in corporate America, when she comes home and she wants to talk about work, he don't want to hear about that shit.
Yeah, that's so true.
He don't want to hear about all of the drama that you've been dealing with and all of that stuff. Men detach. They understand that work is work. And it's all about a business and it's all about running up a bag. But the women are the ones that tend to pick up the camera and pick up the phone and talk about on social media about how difficult it is to deal with their female bosses or their coworkers or how everybody hate them.
Anton, I'm going to give you some stats. So 50% of women say they'd rather work for a male boss than a female boss. Mm-hmm. 90% of paralegals say that they'd rather work for a male attorney than a female attorney, right? According to the Institute on Bullying, which is a think tank in Washington, D.C., 80% of workplace bullying is women bullying other women.
Mm-hmm. I believe that. But then at the same time, I'm not sure. I don't even think. I kind of take it with a grain of salt because I'm not sure if these women are really getting bullied. I just think that they're not able to handle what it takes in order to be in corporate America. Some of these women are not getting bullied, but some of these women are just too sensitive to be in corporate America because it's a cutthroat business. Corporate America could be more cutthroat than the street sometimes because they don't care about your feelings. The only thing they care about is the numbers. The only thing they care about is the results. So a lot of women tend to think that sometimes it is bullying when in its reality it's just them and it's just business. So I think that there's some credence to it, but then again, you got to take these surveys with a grain of salt because it's all feelings involved. How do we determine whether or not somebody is really being bullied or whether they just being held accountable because they a piece of shit at their job?
Yeah, that's really true.
So the context matters.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Doug MPA?
Sorry. You guys keep going. I had to ban somebody in the chat. I'm sorry. Molly's in the chat. And I said something about what happened on your last show. It's got her upset.
Why? What happened?
I love Molly.
No, she made a couple of statements. I called her out on, and she's going back and forth in the chat. It's great. But go ahead. Continue the conversation.
Okay. So last question we got, I know you got a heart out. Would you ever live anywhere besides Detroit? And if so, what city?
Nope. I would never move from my city.
Okay. Gun to your head. You have to move. Where are you going?
I have to move?
Yeah. Now you have to.
If I'm forced to move, that's rough. I love my city so much. Gosh, I have to move?
Yeah, just humor me.
I've been to a lot of places. I travel all across the United States of America.
Humor me.
If I have to move, it would probably be somewhere like a Biloxi, Mississippi.
You don't want to go to Biloxi, bro. I've been there. You don't want to go there. Have you been there?
I do. I'm there all the time.
Okay. All right.
I love Biloxi. It will probably be a Biloxi, maybe a Tampa. It would have to be somewhere that's not too popular. I don't want to move to Miami. I want to visit Miami. I don't want to move to New York. I like visiting New York. I would go to a Cleveland, you know what I'm saying? I would go to something like Indianapolis.
I've heard great things about Cleveland and Indianapolis, actually.
I love Cleveland. Yeah. I love Cleveland. I would go to Pittsburgh. I wouldn't mind living in Pittsburgh. It would be something like that. I wouldn't go to an Atlanta, a Houston, a LA, Vegas. I wouldn't go to any of those cities. I would go to like a Cleveland. I would go to a Pittsburgh, something like that. I love Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is one of the most beautiful cities I've ever seen in my entire life. It's carved out of a mountain. It's beautiful. Pittsburgh is awesome. So I would do something like that.
Have you been to Santa Fe, New Mexico?
I haven't.
Anton? Oh yeah. So in my travels the last couple of years, Santa Fe, New Mexico is probably the most beautiful city I've seen.
Really?
Really?
Oh yeah, you gotta go. It's absolutely beautiful. They have this burgeoning art scene there. The food is great. All the culture between when it was part of Mexico and then the U.S. Yes, stop by Santa Fe, man. It's absolutely beautiful.
As long as the city got an airport, I would be able to thrive there. But if I have to prep, you know, a place that I prefer to live, I prefer to live in places that's a little more nondescript. I think that they show you more love. I think that they're more appreciative. I think it's more opportunity. I don't want to go to places that's already built out. I want to go to places where I can build, you know what I'm saying, change pockets of the city to be where it is that I want it to be in and promote it to be something great. I like being a transformational person, not a person that goes into a place that's already got a whole bunch of people that's hyping it up. I prefer that way. So I like cities, but cities that may not necessarily be on the map as much.
I wanted to ask you, so I don't know if it was Monday's show or last Monday's show. You were talking about giving back to, well, so 2K was talking about how he didn't tip, which is insane, absolutely insane. And you gave this beautiful monologue about how you tithe to the streets and how you give back to the community and what that can do for you. Can you explain that to Pearl's audience, please?
Well, I am a huge proponent in tithing, right? But I don't necessarily think that tithing to a building is necessarily conducive. I don't think that that's what the word meant by it. I like to make sure that I give and donate to my city. And so at least once every 2 weeks, I go and I give at least $5,000 to $10,000 away in cash to people that are on the streets. And I make sure that they get whatever it is that they need in order to be successful, right? In order to feed their families and all of that. So I'll just go out and I'll pass out money. And I tend to be really, really generous when it comes to tipping people. I always usually give at least minimum, I'm going to give at least 20%, 25% if I'm at a little higher end restaurant. Most of the time I try to meet the bill. So breakfast is really cheap. If my bill is $40, $50, $60, $70 at breakfast, I'll tip 100%. If I go to a regular restaurant, I'll tip 100%. Or I'll ask the person, what do you want your tip to be? And I'll just give them whatever it is that they ask for. If it's above 100%, I'll give them whatever it is that they ask for. But I believe that being a generous person, whether it be the people that I work with, that work with me, or the people that I interact with on a regular, everyday basis, the people that is in the trenches, in the streets, the concierge, the securities, the valet people, those are the people that take care of you. Those are the people that's going to make sure that you know what's going on around you. They're going to protect you. As a matter of fact, I'll go so far as to say, those are the people that keep your secrets. The valet people, the concierge, they know everything.
Yeah,
they know who coming in and out of the building. They know everything. And so if you don't want to end up on TikTok, take care of the people that's around you.
That's true.
And then Pearl can't answer this question, but I can. So we can have this conversation, just sum it up real fast. A certain group of women lost 106,000 jobs since March.
Black women.
Oh, yeah. Break that down for us, please.
Well, they were the ones that were in industries that are being transformed. And also that I think that a lot of these service jobs, a lot of these government jobs, a lot of these forever jobs where you can kind of disappear and not really do anything. A lot of these women had two jobs, three jobs that they were supposed to be on the job for. There was a lot of people that had a job that they felt like was always, you know, because during the pandemic, a lot of these jobs went 100% remote. Some of these people moved out or moved away and they were required to come back into the office and they bought a home or they moved into a different environment and they can't come back, right? So a lot of Black women were upended in the industry and in the economy in the latest jobs report because they have bad degrees. They are in industries that is going to be transformed. They have African-American studies degrees, liberal arts degrees, art degrees, underwater basket weaving, whatever it is that you can think of. Those are the degrees that they have. And I think that they are going to continue to be affected by what's going on in the economy. And Black women are largely under attack by themselves, under attack by their own decisions, under attack because they made bad decisions when it came to divesting themselves and getting rid of the men that are in their household that ultimately was their covering if anything was to happen. A woman's job largely was supposed to be a plus or an and. It was not supposed to be the job. It was supposed to be an addition to whatever it was that was happening inside of the household. A lot of women decided that they wanted to be independent, and now you got to independently suffer because nobody is coming to save you. I'm certainly not.
Because I'd say, you remember what an MRS degree was, Anton?
An MRS degree?
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
So in the 60s, well, in the 50s and the 60s, they created marketing, advertising as degrees.
All of that's going away. All of that's
well,
going away.
The reason why those degrees were started was because a woman was supposed to go to college to get that degree to get a skill to help the husband that they met in college, right? So they got them on campus to be able to be surrounded by college men, and they would get married in college, so the man would be successful, and she could learn a skill. I mean, get some knowledge in an area that would help her husband. But the problem is with the explosion of all these, because on Pearl's channel we say that women are going to keep going to these high-priced institutions, to get degrees that nobody cares about, to get jobs that aren't going to make them any money. So with the explosion of all of the high-priced institutions, the amount of women saturating the market with what used to be MRS degrees and Mrs. degrees, companies have had to create entire MRS degrees.
I'm just now understanding what you're saying.
yeah, Miss degrees. They've had to create entire industries to try to employ these women.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so it's kind of like DEI. A lot of black women, too many black women were DEI managers, and not only did they give them a decent paycheck, but they got these DEI managers, thank God for Trump, because they wielded a whole lot of power in these companies, man.
They did.
They had everything that black women are looking for, a decent salary, a big title, and a lot of power.
Yeah, a lot of these women, almost every institution, from universities to private institutions to public institutions, most of them had a position as far as a diversity, equity, and inclusion coordinator, director, manager, or something like that.
Yep.
They had whole departments that was dedicated to it. It was the dumbest thing that I'd ever seen in my life.
Agreed. Now it's all going away. Thank God.
Maybe I could apply for the position. Do you think they'd take me?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Would that be a funny video if I could get into a DEI like hiring position?
And then I
think it would be a great social experiment.
And then, so when you on your show, I see people they say things that if it were you 3 years, because I've been watching you a long time, big dog, and if it were you 3 years ago, you put your hood up and go savage on him. But
I'm much nicer now.
I know. can you explain that evolution from like 3 years ago to now? Like what changed in your mindset? Because I can see you just kind of letting it go now. You know, the hood don't come up half as much anymore. What was the evolution?
You know what it is? I'm just more comfortable as a content creator. Because let's be clear, this stuff doesn't happen in real life. People don't approach you with this negative disposition. You don't see women doing this in real life, right? So the other part of it, though, is that I think that people have changed in how they approach me because I've had to make a lot of people famous and I've had to make a lot of examples out of people. So I just meet people with the energy that they give me. You know, you see what I'm saying? It's like, I've never been looking to go off on anybody, whether it's a man or whether it's a woman, none of that. So if a person, even if you disagree with me, meet me with a level of respect, or, you know, if you just come in with good energy, even if you disagree, we gonna get along. I don't want to live in an echo chamber. I don't want to be in a space where everybody always 100% agree with me. And my audience thrives off the idea that I don't censor people. I don't tell people that they got to get out. As long as they're not disrespectful to somebody's family or something like that, rock out. I'm cool with it. And so I've learned to embrace it. Instead of rejecting it, instead of saying, oh, man, you can't say this to me or who you think you're talking to, I've learned to embrace it because I think that it's more productive for you to have conversations with people that may seem differently than you or think differently than you. We may disagree on most things. Some things we'll probably agree on, but I've learned also that everything don't have to be a hammer. You know, you don't always have to be vinegar. You can always attract flies with honey too. So I'm chill. You know, I'm in a good space. Sometimes I go off on people, but it's more comical now. It's more fun. It's not something that I feel like I have to be abrasive about anymore.
And then just quick thoughts on Travis Hunter marrying that chick. What do you think is going to happen to him?
I hope he got a prenup.
He did it.
I hope he has a strong prenup. A strong prenup, then I think that it's a good experience for him because everybody got to learn. I think that everybody got to suffer. Most men need to suffer in their life. Unfortunately, he has to do it publicly.
Yes.
But if he got a really strong prenuptial agreement, he should be okay.
He didn't get a prenup.
Okay. No, he didn't.
That's unfortunate.
He used to wait in the car while his chick went into a house party, drinking with a bunch of dudes, and posting on Instagram. He's waiting in the car.
Somebody got to be the cleanup guy. Might as well be him. He's not the exception. He's just the one. He's the famous one. That's the cleanup guy. That's it.
Yeah.
Somebody got to be the guy to pick up the pieces.
Oh, I got
it. It just so happened to be his turn.
I got one more. I'm sorry. One more question. All right. So Travis Hunter was nominated for Simp of the Year. I'm on my channel. I have awards that I give out every year. I'm curious if someone comes to mind for who you would nominate for Simp of the Year.
So far,
probably Umar Johnson.
Yeah, with his daughter.
Yeah.
What happened Umar with Johnson, him?
Because he panders so much, but for him to not even have control of what happens in his own household, or not to even be, you know, to have another man raise his daughter while at the same time being held accountable by that daughter, and then still pandering to women and telling men that they need to marry women that are single baby mothers. I think that Umar Johnson deserves that award also.
Okay. I'll add him to my yearly nomination. So, and 304 of the year.
I think the 304 of the year should be a success story.
Okay.
I would give Brittany Renner the 304. I think it should be the ability to rebrand yourself is incredible.
Okay.
I would put that one Ace. I hate to throw another content creator's name, but that one Ace Metaphor guy, he's another simp where you found out that he was digging out all the walls of 100%. All the women on the show while he's pandering. He's another Derek Jackson, so he's up there too.
Is he really simping if he's digging them all out? Like, is he really simping? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I don't. I think he's just messy. He's messy. I don't think that he knows how to separate the business from not messing around or not being messy with the people that you work with. It's stupid.
Yeah, because a simp does something for nothing, right? But he's getting to screw the whole cast, so.
Yeah, that's true. So I wouldn't necessarily say, I think that pandering would probably be a better description for him.
Panderer of the year. That could be another award.
Yeah. Yeah, pandering is really rampant in the community right now. So I would have to do a little bit more evaluation of that.
All right. Well,
just real fast, if you can in 20 seconds, sum up how long you've been married and what your marriage has had. How can I put this here? How long have you been married and how being married to the woman that you're married to has contributed to your success? Just in like the last minute.
You don't want to know the second part of that question. The first part of the question is I've been married for 21 years. It'll be 21 years this month.
Awesome.
Successfully married. I think it's the difference between being married and being successfully married.
Okay.
As far as the contribution to my success, I think that women are largely, it's going to sound real arrogant, but it's just the truth. My success is largely based off of my ability to manage her effectively, right? Awesome. So her submission pours into my greatness, but at the same time, I've always said that I'm going to be great and I'm going to be successful with or without anybody. So she is very much a very good woman, a sweet woman, a phenomenal manager as far as like the different properties and the things that she loves to do. I think that she's a great mother. And so I don't take any of that away from her. I think that she's really great. She's a unicorn. But at the same time, I was going to be the man no matter what. So it didn't really matter. I was going to be here having this conversation no matter what.
SBU Live says, greetings to Pearl and Anton, security boss, unsolicited from South Africa.
What up, SBU?
Well, thanks so much for coming on, Anton.
Absolutely. Anytime, Pearl.
I'm down to come on one of the panel shows soon, so let me know when you're doing them.
You shouldn't have said that. Now I'm going to have you on there.
I'm ready. I've taken a break from panels, so I think I need my fix.
All right, Ben, I got you.
Okay.
And let me just say this also before I leave. because I got to go get ready for a live stream. Mm-hmm. I've always rocked out with Pearl. I've always had her back, and I never switch up on my friends. I never switch up on my friends ever. When everybody switched up, or when everybody was doing it because, or saying whatever it is that they had to say because it was popular to do, I stood 10 toes down, and I'm a loyal person. I don't switch up on people. I just want to say that. So.
Yeah, no, that's true. A lot of people did not have that energy. And you had one of the funniest interviews ever on your channel.
Thanks, we rock. We going to get it.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Anton. Guys, make sure you go subscribe to his channel. We're going to put the links in the description. And any final words you want to tell the audience, Anton?
Ton and Pearl, we going to rock out to the end. It just is what it is. Ain't nothing you can do to make me not like her. So.
Well, thank you, Anton. I appreciate it. Guys, make sure you like.
I'm about to come to where you at. I'm coming in real life.
What? How about that?
What'd you say? I'm coming to where you at in real life.
Oh, you should come.
Next time. You know I am.
Yeah, you should. There's not many
people. We were supposed to link up in real life a bunch of different times.
We did.
No. After Vegas.
Really?
Yes. Because you remember you had went to the UK and you was like, oh, I'm about to come back to the US. And we were supposed to figure some stuff out. And then we just never did because you got so busy. You were so busy. You was running hot. You was a firecracker at that time.
Yeah, so. I was accepting way too many interviews back then. I don't know why I would. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was a crazy time.
But we here. We rocking. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Cool. All
right. I'm going to call you.
All right. You have my number anytime.
All right, babe. Okay.
Bye.
Bye, babe.
All right, guys. So, guys, thanks so much for watching. I want to see. I feel like there's one video I was going to show you guys. Give me one second. Don't pull up my screen because I'm going to find something. Oh, I wanted to give you guys a preview for this week, for the next show we're going to do. I'm thinking either tomorrow or like Friday. 54-year-old Bethany Frankel walks the catwalk wearing tiny bikinis during Sports Illustrated. She revealed her 15-year-old daughter was proud of her while responding to TikTok comments that said, "What would your daughter say?" So now we're having old women. I hope this is YouTube friendly. Walk the catwalk, which is incredible. So look out for that stream. Doug MPA, you got any final words for the chat?
Thank you everyone for being here. Anton's the man.
Yeah,
I mean, he
awesome.
Represents all of us, you know, independent and conservatives, successful black guys. He's doing his thing over there. I've been watching him for years, and I'm glad that he supports Pearl. And then, you know, in the same sentiment, I mean, I've been supporting Pearl for what, 4 years, and I always will. And I'm just glad that those two were able to collaborate.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah, you guys have both been real ones. So yeah, you guys are literally awesome. All right, guys, make sure you like the video on your way out. Please subscribe to the channel and ring that notification bell and sign up for the school community. At some point, if you join the school group, you're going to meet me. All right. It's a one-time lifetime purchase. So all the events I do, you get to be invited to, as long as I do have to you do have to apply because we do have to screen people to get in. But yeah, so we look forward to that. Like the video on your way out, subscribe, and we'll